Okay, welcome back. What day is it? Friday. Another weekend at hand. And again, time to think about things. If you ever sit down with your family, bring these things up. I don't know if people have family meetings, so to speak. Maybe even with friends and family, neighbors, certainly extended family. Sit down and talk about these things. And there'll be people with different opinions. When you have an 80 to 90% vax-compliant rate, bioweapon-compliant rate in this country, you're going to have problems getting people on the same page on almost anything. But never, never has it been more important to communicate. And you might even lay out some ground rules if you've got a shattered family. Say, look, we're going to talk about this. No one is going to raise their voice. No one is going to criticize anyone. We're going to suspend all judgment and talk about the practicality of what seems to be confronting us all. And then you should also talk about food and water. And if you were listening last hour with McCanny's whole house water system, $1,300 plus another 10% off, I think, if you use a rents coupon. That's crazy inexpensive. Astonishing. Something you can keep with you for forever. Take it with you if you move. There's nothing like going to the tap and filling a glass with water and, first of all, having the water taste good, and secondly, having the water be good. It's no joke. No joke. So there you go. The options are yours, and I know a lot of you don't have the money, but look in that garage and remember Craigslist. There are things you can do to raise something. Most everybody. All right. We're here to talk about the most heinous, horrible attack on humanity in our recorded history. I think humankind has arisen and destroyed itself on this planet over the 4.5 billion years, maybe countless times, lots of times for sure. This isn't the first. But we're on the doorstep here of major conflagration. There's no other way to look at it. When you know in your mind that 80 to 90% of Americans have been injected with this bioweapon, and you know in your mind that the spike protein is the deadliest thing ever, and when you know that people cannot think, will, or supplement their way out of the genetic damage that has been permanently done to their bodies, you start to see things a little more clearly. You cannot reverse the damage from these bioweapon injections or what we strongly suspect are damages from the bioweapon virus as well. So they hit us with both barrels, and I think they are satisfied that they have done what they intended to do. That's me speaking for me, but let's find out what the young lady has to say.
Well, yeah, I agree. It's pretty grim. You know, we're finding more and more people that are, you know, what we call severely vax injured. You know, it's not severely, hard to find their stories now that they're letting them out of the box.
Right.
And yeah. Some of them are just horrific. You know, you can actually find them on YouTube now, and these are people that have documented. You know, they've got pictures of themselves the day they got the shot and all smiley, sitting in the chair with a mask on and somebody sticking them with a needle and everything that ensued afterwards. And, you know, it's just really a testament to human resiliency that some of these people are still alive.
You know, I honestly can't tolerate looking at those pictures of somebody sticking a needle in the arm of another human being. Knowing what we know now, knowing what all of you know if you've been with us for any length of time, and most especially a child, I don't have words to properly reflect the emotional response I have at seeing pictures like that. It's child murder. They're killing these children.
Yep.
It's beyond belief what's going on here. There are a number of things out there which we try to bring into the flow of information here. We've had some really good contributions from a paramedic named Harry Fisher recently, really outstanding, one of many conscientious and honorable professionals working this horror, and they have been well worth listening to. Go back to our recent programs if you've missed them. Listen to them. They're all there for you free right on the homepage on the right-hand side. You'll see them. Just look for Jeff and Erica right there. And I think if you're behind the curve a little bit, it won't take you long to get caught up. Not at all. This spike protein is so horribly dangerous. And for those of you who don't know, if you took the shot, and many of you listening did, it has put in your body the instructions, the mRNA instructions, protected by almost equally toxic liquid nanoparticles, LNPs, into your body, and those instructions go into the cell and basically kill the cell, not dead, but they take it offline. Your body's cells produce uncountable numbers of different proteins to maintain the body, to build, to obviously service things that need taken care of. And once that mRNA goes into that cell with its liquid nanoparticle lubricant, it goes in there and the cell is no longer alive in the traditional sense. It's alive, but it's in a static mode. And all it does is lay there and produce death. It produces spike proteins, which, as their primary directive, is to kill you. That's what your body's doing to you. And there's no supplement you can take that's going to change that, because that cell has been genetically revisited. Well, it's been modified permanently. Let's put it that way. And it will do nothing else for the rest of its existence. That's the word. It will do nothing else for the rest of its existence except produce things, spike protein, which will kill you.
Well, right? That's if the immune system, you know, that some part of the immune system will recognize that that cell is producing a foreign protein and it will start attacking it. And this is, exactly, you know, one reason we're having this explosion of autoimmune diseases, because your cells should not be producing foreign proteins.
No, they're supposed to do what they've done for a million years or longer, produce proteins that your body needs. And it doesn't do that anymore. It can't. It's over. It's done. Okay? You have stepped across the genetic boundary line, and you cannot step back. You're toast, and you were not told about this. It's not your fault. You were frightened. You were threatened. You were mandated. You trusted the untrustworthy medical establishment in this country. And worst of all, you trusted Big Pharma. Now, we're brought up to do that. I understand. We understand that. But for God's sakes, know how it happened. How did you get injected? What caused it? Did you fail your own best interests, your own good thinking? What happened? In a way, it doesn't matter. But it's good to chart this out from the beginning and see where you are now, because it's very difficult for people. There are so, and here's another one. All right, you have a friend. We don't need any names or anything. But this is an older individual who knows a lot of people, and I think this is a very common overview. I think a lot of people in this country know a lot of people who have died or who have been vax injured, terribly injured. I think this is a huge issue. It's not some small number. This is enormous. Can you share anything about your friend? We don't need any IDs, but tell us a little bit about that, because
it is
interesting.
She is older, but she's, you know, very active in her community, and she knew well in advance that this rollout was very suspicious and had no interest in partaking in, you know, this vaccine, so-called vaccine. And she tried like heck to dissuade anybody and everybody who would listen to her. She's got a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. And enjoys socializing with these friends, and she could not, for anything, convince these people not to do what they'd made up their mind to do. And I think 2 years ago, she lost her lifelong friend, high school friend, to these shots. She just kept taking them. She took one, she took another, then she got a booster, and then she had a stroke and died. But, you know, she keeps me in the loop as to what's going on in her circle of contacts. And this
it's a fairly wide circle, is it not? It's a
yeah,
big,
she's very, very sociable. She's very sociable, knows a lot of people. And this week she updated me, and, five people that she knows. I think three died, and two, you know, one has pneumonia and cancer, and I forget what the other one has, blood clots. It's the same old story.
She lost three in a week, right?
They're not connecting them.
Three dead in a week, friends.
Yeah,
wasn't that it?
Yes.
That she knew?
Yep.
And I think this is common. And if you do the math, let's say most everybody knows at least one or two people who have died, certainly several people who have been injured. They know. We're talking about a 90% vax compliant rate here at the high end. So they know. And if you do the math and figure out that if 80% of the people know several people who have been injured or dead, died suddenly, you've got a huge number of people here who have been killed or damaged beyond retribution. You're not going to rehabilitate people who have been vax injured. It's not going to happen. They just can't come back.
Well, part of the problem is that the injuries are so diverse, and there's no one-size-fits-all protocol.
Dozens of them.
You've got to treat each one on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
And, you know, try to manage the symptoms as best you can.
So, bottom line, ask your friends. If you don't talk about this, most people do. I think it should be the number one topic of conversation. We're facing a genetic catastrophe here and an absolute genocide. No question. Ask your friends how many people hey, Bob, how you doing? Hey, Bill, how many people do you know who have died from these shots or allegedly died or who are sick from it? See what you hear. And then look at those lying CDC stats.
Well, it's still somewhat taboo to talk about it.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say it's an uncomfortable topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can imagine that. Yes, I can. Anyway, that's the point is, it's much worse than this alleged government will ever let on. Not the FDA, not the CDC, not the USDA, none of it. And they are.
And don't kid yourself. The censorship regarding the fallout from this vaccine, it's still very much there.
Very rigorous, it is.
I mean, you know, they're acknowledging some of these grievously injured people, but they're not talking and not allowing any talk about the prion part of it.
If you have friends who are older, and you're not necessarily living with them, or some of your listeners right now who are older, check with your friends, too, because the senior citizens in this country, older Americans, all 50 and up, 60 and up, were targeted early on, and many of them are gone. And I personally think, this is my view, very few people would miss 10% of the population over a four-year period. You wouldn't notice. You just wouldn't. And that would be 30 million people. Do I think 30 million people are dead? Not necessarily, but I think 30 million people are dead or severely injured. That's an easy one. It's probably far higher than that. But you're not going to know about it if it's not in the news. You're not going to know about it unless you do some research on your own. And we keep getting emails from people who... The alt news world is full of some of the most evil purveyors of disinformation and bullshit that I have ever seen in my life. And some very intelligent people buy into their crap, and they'll recommend them. No names needed here. You've been listening. You know who we're talking about.
No, blatantly
awful.
Obvious that these are psyops at this point. Deliberate stage psyops.
100% right. Yeah. All right. Let's a couple of our readers, and then we're going to jump into a video. This one is this is kind of interesting. It's the May 13th mother diagnosed with ALS. There's two of them there.
see it.
You got that? Mm. All right, I'll take the first one. I haven't even looked at the second part yet, but let's see what this says. We just spent a lot of time on ALS here. Very big story now. I hope you are well, everyone. I am not really sure how to start or what to say. My mom was recently diagnosed in November at just 49 years of age. I can't seem to get out of the shock and immediate breakdown when I do try to think about it. This is ALS. Now, ALS, for you who don't know, is a destruction of your body, your neurology, where you can't do things with your arms and hands and feet, and then you end up not being able to walk, and then you end up not being able to have the musculature or the control of the musculature to breathe, and you die. It's a horrible, horrible way to go, ALS. In that whole period of time, your mental competence generally stays about the same. That's not a big target of ALS, which is about as cruel as it can get. All right, going on with this, and she says, immediate emotional breakdown when I do try to think about it. I know it's a pretty stupid question, but how do you cope? A part of me is feeling like giving into it makes her sicker. She's talking about her 49-year-old mom. And denying it also doesn't give it the acceptance it needs. We are in Ontario, Canada. The medication is so freaking expensive, even after insurance and the OHIP. We are all spread so thin in terms of finance. I just don't know where to start to try and achieve support financially or emotionally, and I spiral when I go on the hunts online for help. She's in the very much dark, dark humor phase, and also at the same time we have not been able to both get to a point of future planning or just, I don't know. We're a broken family of 7 children, the youngest being 7 and 9, and both autistic. And just not knowing how to plan for them is beyond, I just don't know. Any advice would be helpful. I feel just broken. All right, let's see.
That's
if we got
a daunting situation.
Oh, it's horrible.
You know, how old do you think that person is, 20?
Probably, 20s, yeah. All right, go ahead.
All right, one reply here. I have no advice, only solidarity. The first 6 months, maybe a year, after my mom was diagnosed, all I did was cry. Every time I thought about it, I would come apart. Now, 3 years in, I have some skin in the game. Everything shifted to practical solutions. It's been very isolating, and I've built up quite a bit of armor, which isn't all good either. I have a family of my own who I'm increasingly frustrated with as my mind stays preoccupied with my mom. But it has gotten better since that initial shock wore off, even as her condition has gotten worse. I think we have all gotten much stronger. I tell my friends I'm just not fun at parties these days. I'm not crying at parties. But I am explaining in gruesome detail all that comes with familial ALS and how exactly my mom's life is changing. All I can do right now is surround myself with folks who've experienced caretaking, grief, loss. Eventually I'll come back to myself, but it has been a disoriented few years. Sending you love. Call your mom often. I haven't been able to pick up the phone and call mine in years, and I regret not calling her more when I had the chance.
There's an important statement right there, and I've said it before. You must begin to recognize every day as a blessing. You can't count on tomorrow. And for those in your life that matter to you, your children, your friends, your spouse, you need to tell those people in no uncertain terms how you feel about them, how important they are to you and in your life, and what it has been like having them in your life and how much you appreciate that, because that opportunity is not always going to be there and it can be taken away at any time, at any moment. Please remember that. It's important. Go ahead.
All right. So the original poster replies to that. This hit home so much. I have umpteenth problems within my little family household right now, and I feel like my husband does not get it. My mom and I actually reconnected due to the diagnosis after almost 4 years of silence due to a big blowout within the family. So I feel like it makes things so much harder, like I lost all this time, and that our relationship went from being unhealthily close to abandoned. I'm definitely in a shock avoidance stage. She just got braces for her legs, and seeing her wobble or hearing about her falling make me absolutely insane with devastation. I'm hoping to have your skin at some point. We were dealt a terrible hand in life, but this is the first time I feel like I cannot handle it or don't know how to handle it or if I'll ever handle it. I'm also the eldest, so my siblings are all over the place, ranging from 7 years old to 24, not including myself. They're so young, and I'm feeling like the weight of the world should just take me out before I have to come to any other conclusions. Did you ever join any person caregiver support groups? Sending lots of love to you, too, and your mama bear means the absolute world to me. Thank you.
But just another peek into another case in the tens and twenties and more of millions of people who have been injured in one of dozens of different ways by these bioweapons. And if
I think it was last Monday, we read the ALS is now becoming common in these people with VAX injury, and these once, you know, small, sleepy little support groups are now exploding with new members. And we have that woman that said that she had been in a ALS support group because her cousin had ALS, and this was before the pandemic. And she said, you know, in the last year or so, it's stunning how many new members there are. And when they were polled, these new members, did your ALS diagnosis follow the vaccination? They all said yes.
Yes, absolutely. And again, the clever part of this genocide is how many different ways the spike can begin to disassemble functional life in a body. And the symptomology will reflect this or that, and you'll have this set of tests and that set of tests. But they all come up either empty in terms of results or with nothing much to say. Like, what can they do? This is just an incredibly diverse. I still don't think that humans were satanically evil or clever enough to have put this thing together without some outside help. Now, I'm not speaking for Erica. That's just me. But maybe so. Maybe there are people that are that evil. This thing is not only the most deadly, but is the most evil thing ever, as far as we know, unleashed on humankind.
And the shocking thing is how easy it's been to get a high percentage of the population to go along with it.
Piece of cake. Fear does a lot of things for people. And I do believe that if they turn the bird flu loose with a 25% death rate, the fear factor will come right back.
That's one side of it. But I'm talking about the people that willingly gave these injections, coerced or browbeat their patients into taking these things.
I despise them. I hate them. I really do.
You know, employers that demanded their employees get it?
They're all guilty of murder, in my view, and should be treated as such. That's just me. I just hate them.
Well, it's really, you know...
Many of them knew damn well what they were doing. Many.
And they still do, and yet they're not pulling them from the market.
Nope.
There are still doctors recommending it to their patients, and there are still employers requiring it.
And colleges and universities requiring your young 18-year-old daughter or son or 19-year-old to get this death injection before they can go to school and get drunk and do drugs and chase the opposite sex, which is what usually happens in colleges. We all know that. Okay, here's our video. We've got another Children's Health Defense magic bus video. They're doing videos now where they're hooking up with people with Skype or what's
right.
The
it,
other
it's
one?
Not
Zoom?
No longer the bus. Yeah. It's they're doing it
it's
remotely.
A studio. Right.
Right.
Okay. This is vaccinated and injured without consent. Lori Lorenz, tell us more about this.
Well, I picked this one because she initially was injured by a flu shot years and years ago. But secondly, she was more recently given this DTaP DTaP vaccine.
What is a DTaP? Tell us what DTaP is.
All right, so that's a bacterial toxoid vaccine that contains the bacterial toxin from diphtheria. That's D, mm-hmm. diphtheria. Mm-hmm. T, tetanus.
Tetanus, yeah.
And P, pertussis, which is also known as whooping cough.
They used to call it DPT, but they've changed it. I just want to make that
DTP,
clear.
Yeah, or DTAP. And people presenting to, you know, urgent care, the emergency room with, I don't know, stubbed toes, it seems, anything these days, and being offered a tetanus shot, likely is not going to get just a tetanus shot. They're going to get this 3-in-1. And we've already heard John O'Looney had related a story of a woman that was given that and ended up with you know, quite sick from it. And then we recently heard another one here. And now this woman's got a story. So, yeah, just know if you're going to the hospital and you're offered a tetanus shot, you may be getting more than just a tetanus shot.
I cannot imagine an intelligent, reasonable, well-informed person saying, okay, please think about these things. You don't need a tetanus shot. When was the last time, and you're a real medical wizard, when was the last time you even heard of anybody with tetanus? Can you think?
No, I haven't. You know, it is so rare. And
it's an 18th century disease. It's not even around anymore.
Right. Yeah. And there are rumors that that tetanus shot has things in it that will affect female fertility. And they do seem to be targeting, younger women of childbearing age, that when they go for just a routine exam, they are offered and encouraged to take a tetanus shot.
Pretty obvious.
And
what's
during
going
a routine
on.
Exam, they don't have an injury, they don't have a cut.
No.
But they say, well, you ought to be up to date on this vaccine. Well, that sounds a little suspicious. And I would be very wary of that. Anything in a needle these days, you really just have to wonder.
I think you have to stay away.
You have
Absolutely.
To stay away.
All right, here's this story of vaccinated and injured without consent.
Okay, thank you, Laurie, for being here. This is a story about you with a flu and a Tdap shot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, take us back to when this happened.
Yeah, the flu shot was back in 1990, probably 95, 96. And I had, my life was stressful and I had a young child and I had been getting pretty sick at the winter and it was turning into pneumonia. So I thought, okay, I've never had a flu shot, but everyone talks about it, and maybe this will interrupt this illness. And so I took the shot, and I never connected this until I learned more about vaccines in recent years. And that was in the winter that I took the shot. And then in that spring, I developed, after I'd cleared my organic garden of the mustard that grows every spring, lived in the high desert, and at that time, the next day I woke up with a rash all over my body except for my face and swelling on my body. And it took a couple days and the rash went away, but the swelling and most of the swelling, but it stayed in my joints. And so I went and got checked out, they tested it and said it was lupus, And I looked at the patients in the rheumatologist's waiting room and said, nope, I'm not accepting that. So when they did the next follow-up, I tested with rheumatoid arthritis. And so I said, I'm not going to settle for this either, but I can work with this one. And so I had, fortunately, a good doctor who is from India, and he was vegetarian and understood other ways of healing. And I asked him if he would just monitor me and not put me on the medications. Because I saw those poor people in the waiting room, and their hands were all curled up and they were in wheelchairs. And I said, I am not going there. So I set about naturally in natural ways to heal myself and just use my body as my laboratory. And whatever helped me move toward health, I continued and found a lot of herbs that did, that have since been, you know, popularized and acknowledged. And it took a year, but the anti-nuclear antibody titer, if it's 40 or above, you test positive for rheumatoid arthritis, and I was at 360. And within a year, I had brought it down to negative. And it took another 2.5 years, really, to heal the damage to my joints. And there's just the barest residual. If in a workout I'm doing certain things with my elbows or knees, I can feel some of the residual, but otherwise it's gone. But I made no connection with the jab that I got. And then about 3 years ago, between 3 and 4, I'd have to look at the records. I'd had an accident with my horse, and it affected my balance. So they took me to the ER, and I had one just the skin split on my arm when I hit the ground, and they asked me, I was in shock. Yeah, I had a blow to the head, so I. They asked me when my last tetanus shot was, and it had been years, so many, many years. And I said, so I didn't remember. And then they came back in without asking, without saying anything. They just gave me a shot. And I just, being still kind of stunned, I just watched them do it. And it didn't really register strongly at the time. Until a few weeks later, I was getting weakness and tingling in my arms and hands. And I kept getting worse. So I figured there's something wrong here. I need to check this out. And as it turned out, after a bad night in the ER, and they checked me into a room I got an hour and a half of dozing. They came in and said, I have transverse myelitis. And I thought, whoa. And I asked the neurologist, could this have anything to do with that DPT vaccine? And she says, oh, no, that just doesn't happen. But in the follow-up interview I had, the follow-up appointment, she was honest, and she did some research and said, you know, you asked about the vaccine. She says, it could have been that. So I was impressed that she was honest enough. She's also since left the region. So Oregon is not friendly to doctors who acknowledge that there's any problem with pharmaceuticals.
Lori, can I just ask, if it was only 4 years ago, I think it must have been the Tdap that you got. They've discontinued the DTP some time ago. So
Okay.
I would suggest that's what they gave you, which is a ghastly, ghastly vaccine. So I'm so sorry you got that. And that they did it without even asking you.
Without asking, with no disclosure about it, no nothing.
And today, how do you feel? They say you have transverse myelitis. Do you still have the symptoms of that? Have you cured it with herbs? What's the deal?
I healed it. I discovered I'm always into this stuff. I do counseling for trauma and abuse, and that so there's always a lot of physical stuff with my people too. And I've always loved alternative healing and had healed myself using alternative means of herbs and supplements for the rheumatoid arthritis. And so I just dove back in and did research, and I discovered frequency-specific microcurrent. And it was actually discovered in the 1800s. And then when the Rockefellers and Carnegies destroyed all the natural medicine that was made illegal along with it. And so there was some of the equipment for it left in a chiropractor's office. And this one chiropractor rejuvenated it and got it approved, FDA approved for pain. And so I found this wonderful wild woman who just did all sorts of things. And so she gave me a treatment, and then she lent me a unit. So I continued to give treatments to myself. And every time I did, I felt an improvement. So I just kept with it till it was gone.
Okay, there's an idea. Now, the best I can equate to the machine she's talking about are little electrodes that you put on somebody. There's a control box which elects or selects the frequency, the desired frequency, and it goes into your body. If you remember Dr. Hulda Clark and the Zapper, that's a very similar kind of thing. It's frequency, certainly admitted to the body through these little patches, and the frequencies of choice can do some helpful things. So can Rife instrumentation. There are a number of things bioelectrically that people are just not allowed to learn about unless they do their own research. But anyway, the point of this is you go in, and this lady was stunned from hitting her head. She wasn't able to advocate for herself, and they walked in and gave her this injection. She didn't ask for it. They could do the same thing.
Yeah, just a little scrape on her elbow. And
that's all.
That justified and this.
Got her bell rung. Yeah. The idea of tetanus is that you get an infected wound and you're going to get tetanus. It just doesn't happen anymore. Lockjaw.
Right.
That's right. So the point is, when you go into a medical facility, you damn well better have somebody to help you or have something written out in advance. I'm not kidding. Keep it in your pocket, your person. No injections. Because they could have given her easily a COVID bioweapon injection. So what we give everybody.
Wait, she said it was three, four years ago?
Yes.
So it was probably just prior to that.
Just before, but I'm saying now they've done this. They've given many people the COVID bioweapon without their permission, nothing. They just give it to them. Boom.
Yeah.
So you need to be careful, for goodness sakes, please. We do this for you, and we want you to be as safe as you possibly can be. Okay, let's jump back to our human files. And you want to jump into the Mike's saga thing? That's a long thread. All right, go ahead and set this up briefly.
Right, so here's Mike O'Mara again, who's chronicling his own demise. And a lot of people have chimed in on this particular post with some dissenting views, one or two.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right. He says, I have learned after getting poisoned by my government and then abandoned, mocked, ignored, and ridiculed by most everyone on the planet the last few years that to most, family means nothing. Love, by and large, is conditional. The only thing that really matters is your health. But you can't secure and sustain your health without the power to ensure that you can eat the right foods, condition your body, and avoid the pitfalls of the medical industry, which you cannot do without money. Money gives you power and gets you results, respect, and autonomy. So ultimately, money is the only thing worth anything in this world. It is sad, but true. Everything else is just words. If I were rich, I might have lived. But my body has fallen apart, and I am dying a slow, horrendous death, all because I am not independently wealthy. Same as all the severely medically injured I know.
Here's a response to that from Rob. People love you when you're working yourself to death, then they'll forget about you the day you get sick or go broke. In most cases, anyway. Family means absolutely nothing unless you are one of the lucky ones who has a caring family member. Sadly, animal kingdom rules still apply to the human race. Get better and be useful, or shut up and die. Fun world we live in. And Mike says, yes, indeed. Another comment, agreed. I'm so sorry for you, my dad, friends, etc., 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 that were poisoned, and some who have succumbed to the murder already. I'm so angry. Some of my dad's last dying words to me were, I just want peace. Well, he finally found that peace on May 13th, 2024. Go ahead.
And someone asks her, he has long COVID for years? He just died because of long COVID? I'm so sad if that is the truth. And she replies, no. He had a heart attack after his first shot and started going downhill with memory issues, etc. He developed turbo bone cancer. He was in assisted living where they required him to get the shots.
Go ahead.
And he replies to that, I'm so sad hearing about that. He did not deserve that. What an evil world. Did he get AstraZeneca or Pfizer? I got severe damage, like my heart stopped, and my body was paralyzed after getting the first AstraZeneca and then COVID. I've struggled 3 years, and I think I will soon die. Will finally leave my small son, 4 years old, alone in this evil world.
Do you all
That's
have
a young
any...
woman.
Yes. Do you have any idea how many people are in similar circumstances that don't talk about it? It's not the number one most popular thing conversationally, so people don't talk about it. And there is a primal issue with humans and animals. If you're sick, you're going to be left behind. So people don't talk about it. They just don't want to. All right, here's another. This is the same lady, I guess, huh? Yeah.
No, this is someone else speaking
all
to
right.
her.
Yes, they are all poison. I posted my family story for awareness on my Facebook page because I lost almost half of my household after my mom secretly got her and her two younger special needs brothers the shot. Our entire household got sick from them, shedding on us. My unjabbed sister and oldest unjabbed uncle dropped in their room. He died in his bedroom. My mom and sister secretly given remdesivir and intubated against their will, and their death was marked by COVID. For my distant father basically called me a conspiracy theorist. He died a year after my mom. My cousin died on her bed. My other cousin's boyfriend dropped dead on the street. My unjabbed friend got pancreatitis cancer after her mom got pancreatitis cancer from the shot. My friend died from the treatment. Crimes against humanity. Here's one person with half a dozen deaths in her immediate life. And I say this goes on all the time, and it's hidden and kept sub rosa. You're not hearing about it. I think it's very common. Ask, and as I said earlier on, we invite you to ask your friends if you haven't. Do you know anybody who? Or if you meet somebody, do you know anybody who? Find out. I think that the statistics on the number of dead in this country are huge, and certainly the number of damaged. Go ahead.
Another person says, the last 6 months have taught me that nobody really cares. I managed to get to my son's graduation. I found an alternative to the medication that was taken away, one of them, but I still cannot concentrate very well. I don't know if I have brain damage. My husband has gotten so sick of me being sick and feels like I've been dragging it on. Nobody understands. And the stuff I'm on, I know it's not good for me, but it's not a pharmaceutical. At least it's helping me to get around after being bedridden all year.
See, these horror stories, again, are hidden. That's why we try to present them to you, so you'll have an idea of the length and the depth and the breadth of this horror that's going on. All right, here's a comment to that. I don't know if I agree with this, Mike. I'm 53 and a nurse and lost my job because I refused to take the government's poison. Lost everything, honestly. I also lost friends and family. Had to sell my house, go on state insurance, and moved to a freedom-friendly state. I'm just starting over now, but still managed to get out in the sunshine, ride my bike, and cook, and eat healthy for my family. I also stopped going to the doctor and taking my son to the pediatrician. Jeff says, bravo, stay away, you don't need to go. We're healthier because of that, she says. Money is not the answer. And I guess this is Mike talking, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He says, but it is, because you took a hit, but someone with money or your previously saved up money allowed you the chance to move and start over. How did you eat otherwise? How did you get a new home? I couldn't move. I didn't have enough money, and I was lied to by my doctor, family members, and government, and tricked into the poison as a requirement to be able to conduct my own business. It still came down to money and power. And the other person says, I ate, and I bought a new home that was way cheaper than what I sold my other one for. I used that profit, cashed in my 401k. Again, I'm very sorry that you are going through this, but having money doesn't save anybody. Most of my friends who didn't want to give up their six-figure salaries are now sick. They have expensive cars and $600,000 homes that they can't work to afford to pay for. And Mike says, yes, it was cheaper, but it still costs something. You had the money to do it. You cashed in a 401k. I didn't have money. Onward.
All right, one more. Absolutely right. I'm not you, but my health issues are just being ignored, too. By doctors, because I have crap insurance, and even when I've paid out of pocket, no help.
Damn.
I really just want to hang in here as long as I can for my kids, but really, I'm so ill, and so many things are just shutting down or getting worse. It is unbelievable. I love you, and I hope your suffering ends soon.
Look, 80 to 90% vax rate, bioweapon rate in this country. And just this little survey that we've presented tonight should tell you that the damage done by these shots, fatal and otherwise, is almost incalculable. It's everywhere, and no one's talking about it. Yes, there are some who say, I'm still functional, I'm okay, but in many cases, those people will even admit that they've never been the same since they got the shots. That's one admission we hear. So
yeah,
is it all money?
No,
it's not all money, but money helps a hell of a lot. Go ahead.
Well, in that situation, people had to choose for themselves. And for whatever reason, some people put their health above money. You know, it didn't matter. They
right.
weren't going to put their health on the line. If it meant leaving a job, fine. If it means having to sell the house, fine. I'm not compromising on my health.
Exactly.
But, you know, if you were watching mainstream media, you were probably led to believe that these things were safe and effective. So it was a tough one for people. But,
well,
you know, when the government starts telling you have to take this, you know, that should raise a red flag.
Immediate, instantly.
And it doesn't matter if you have a pre-existing medical condition, you have to take it. Well, what if it makes me worse? Doesn't matter, you have to take it. And you go, come on.
And the bottom line was, they really couldn't force it on people. It was all
right.
A psychological browbeating, a psyop. And it worked. It worked. And I can't even begin to imagine how many stories we've read where people are expressing great regret and remorse for having done it. It's too late, though. This is a weapon. It is a forever genetically changing weapon in your body. You cannot reverse it. Does that sound defeatist? Well, sorry if it does, because it's the truth. You cannot go in there and reverse the genetic damage and changing that has been accomplished by these weapons. You can't do it. And if you think that the bioweapon virus is no big deal, it's not much more than a common cold and you get over it, you better think again. We presented enough evidence about that to make it quite clear that this virus is horrible. You don't want to get it. And the more you've had it, the worse people seem to be. They get it for the third time. They've got real serious things going on. So just keep that in mind.
Well, it does do a number on the immune system. So if you've had it and then you're not fully recovered by the next time you encounter it, you just dig yourself into a deeper hole. But, you know, there was a reason they used gene transfection, I think, with this vaccine. They could have used a standard vaccine, but they deliberately chose a genetic transfection so that, you know, you'd be stuck with this code.
Correct. Yeah,
and, you know,
it
wasn't mRNA that would degrade quickly. They modified it so the thing is virtually indestructible. It persists indefinitely. And now we find out that there's DNA sequences that drive it into the nucleus.
Push it right in. You can't take a supplement and reverse that. Pine needle tea doesn't do it.
Well, and then people think, you know, it's just a matter of getting the heavy metals out.
No.
It's not about heavy metals. It's a genetic transfection. You've been genetically altered. You're now producing a foreign protein that you get enough of it, it's lethal.
A deadly foreign protein. Here's a quickie. North Carolina, the state Senate, has approved a bill. I guess it goes to the governor for signature now, that literally outlaws, it bans the right to wear a mask in public in North Carolina. Anybody wearing a mask will be in violation of this new law for any reason. It's crazy. It's crazy.
That's incredible. And I would think that, you know, the number of chemically sensitive people, environmentally sensitive people right now have to wear a mask. Otherwise, the smells make them sick, literally sick. And I'm not just talking smells coming off the vax, as in shedding, but no, there are countless chemicals that affect people adversely, and they need to wear a mask. I would think they'd be up in arms about this.
I would think
that's discrimination. And I would say that's almost a handicapped, you know, if you're someone that requires the use of a mask to protect your health, I'd have something to say about that. That's a violation of your rights. You're being discriminated against.
Unconstitutional. Completely unconstitutional. I can't. It's not right. Last little note. UCLA Medical School prioritized racial diversity, which led to a, quote, shocking decline, end quote, in medical knowledge at the medical school. All right, there you go, you DEI fans. All right, thank you. Great job. We'll keep at it. Have a good weekend. Take care.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. You too. Good night, everyone.
All right. Okay, gang, back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.